If you'd all please rise for a short invocation and a pledge of allegiance, and ask everyone silently pray, asking for God's favor on this city and the wisdom for this council as we make our decisions tonight. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You may be seated. Item 1.4 on our agenda is roll call, and all council members are here save for Mark Snyder. He has been working out of town, and so he asked to be excused. I'd entertain a motion tonight to excuse Mark Snyder from our proceeding. We have a motion made and second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Moving to item 1.5, citizen input. This is the segment of our meeting where citizens have an opportunity to address the Othello City Council with any issue. Eric LaFontaine, would you please step to the microphone, state your name and address for the record, and you have up to 5 minutes to address the council.
I don't have an issue.
Hi, my name's Eric LaFontaine, 313 North Crestview Drive, Moses Lake, Washington. I'm here tonight just to kind of allow some of you that don't know me or have never met me to put a face to what we're going to be doing here in the next week, I guess. I published the Othello Outlook newspaper down here for almost 8 years, and I bled and I sweated and I worked extremely hard in a really challenging time when newspapers were competing for a very small amount of money. The work that we were able to do during that time had absolutely been the foundation to allowing me to go on and do other things in life. Since I left Othello in 2014, I was hired at the Columbia Basin Herald newspaper as their publisher, so I have a daily newspaper. I also have a weekly newspaper that I started called the Sun Tribune, and that is down in the Mattawa and Royal City area. This weekly newspaper that I started is absolutely based on the principles that went on in this community. It is built behind that ship that taps into the hyper-local feel. All pictures, legals, schools, sports, kids, again, it's based on that foundation. And we've worked really, really hard to turn this newspaper into something extremely positive for those communities. In addition, when I left, I've gone on now, I gave the commencement speech at Big Bend. I've sat with the governor the last 2 years at a legislative day next to him. I have had the opportunity to continue on with the Washington Newspaper Publishers Association Board of Trustees. So with this Sun Tribune newspaper that I am going to be bringing down here into Othello, and we are going to be your guys' community newspaper, we have all the resources to do this. You have me, you have my business acumen, you have the rest of you. This really works together, and that's why the Outlook was able to be so successful. When I came in, it was me and one other person, and I reached out to many of you and got to know many of you, and you guys allowed us to grow and turn that Outlook newspaper into something very, very positive for the community, which is exactly what I will do with the Sun Tribune newspaper. We will be covering the same types of issues, schools, sports, you name it. It's going to be based on the Outlook model. We're also going to be honoring anyone that has an Outlook subscription. We're going to honor that subscription through the term that they've paid. So no one here will go without a weekly legal newspaper. The Sun Tribune does have a periodical mailing permit, which is a very, very challenging thing to achieve. It took me 8 months to get it. I finally have it. I actually got it on the same day that I found out the Outlook was closing, which, for those that don't know me, it has absolutely tore me apart. It's really hard for me to accept that when I left here, things changed in, not with the community still continued to go on and be great, but things changed in the way that was covered. And that was really hard to watch. So having this opportunity to come back and make sure we tell the story of Othello. We will continue to tell it. I have resources. I will hire a publisher down here in Othello. He will live here, or she will live here. She will have roots here. We will open an office here. We have all the skin in the game and continue to tell this story. You guys had this newspaper for 108 years. When you think forward about who can continue a newspaper going for another 108 years, I promise you it's me. And I promise you it's the people behind me, like this young reporter here. We have everything to continue to tell this story. And I look forward to you guys' support. I have some support, and I want to continue to build that, because again, this only works if we're all together on it. Any questions, feel free. I am going to do a public forum on the 2nd of August at the Othello Senior Center. I invite everyone in this room, everyone in attendance, please come down. You can ask me any question you want. Total open book. You can fire it at me. And I will give you the plan as best we know. And I promise you, this plan of what we're doing here, it's going to be great. It's going to be phenomenal. It's going to continue to tell your story. So, questions?
No, I. Go ahead.
I was going to say, what time is your forum?
Noon.
Okay. The senior center.
Okay. Thank you for allowing me to come and talk. And for those of you that I'm just now meeting, thank you. I look forward to meeting you in the future.
Eric, I just want to say thank you for wanting to continue that tradition in Othello. It does take skin in the game, and it takes resources and effort. Or at least I'm familiar with you and your body of work at the Outlook, and so if there is anybody who knows our community and knows and can make this happen, it is you.
True. Absolutely, Sean. So, and absolutely.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay. Ray. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Is there other citizen input tonight? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move to item 2, approval of agenda. I'd entertain a motion to approve our agenda tonight.
Make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 3 is our consent agenda. I'd entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda tonight.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Going to move to our current business portion of the meeting. Item 4.1, 14th Avenue Improvement Project Change Order Number 1. Jake? From Borrella?
Yeah, my name is Jake Youngren with Borrella & Associates. Been involved in the 14th Avenue project, and tonight I'd like to present a couple change orders that have popped up. Change order number 1, change order number 4. I've been asked by a few people, so I might just clarify that there is a 2 and 3, but we just log them in the order that we get them and start negotiating them, and since 2 has been deleted and 3 has just become finalized, so.
So that's why they're out of order?
Yeah, correct. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep. So change order number 1 is a request from Colbert Construction, the contractor on 14th Avenue, for 4 additional contract working days. There was some coordination at the start of the project with dry utility owners, namely mostly Vista and their overhead power lines. And those lines, they conflicted with the critical path work that Colbert was planning on doing. There was a plan in place to start June 20th, and Avista wasn't able to meet their schedule. Hence, Colbert was delayed 4 days and started the 24th. So that's that request.
Okay. So it's just to add no
no cost.
Yeah, no cost. All right. Okay, a motion to approve change order number 1 for 14th Avenue.
Make them.
Just 1 second. What is the text, you don't have a completion date?
Correct. It's a 100 working day contract, so it'll be 104 at this point. I believe that falls on November 5th, if I'm not mistaken. But, and that's working days, so that's just 5 working days per week.
Okay.
Any other questions? I'd entertain a motion to approve our change order number 1 for 14th Avenue.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Then the motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Move to item 4.2, 14th Avenue Improvement Project Change Order Number 4. Jake?
Yes. This change, as some of you may know, that the utilities in the future Columbia Street intersection, namely sewer and storm, were lowered from the plan to accommodate growth to the east of 14th Avenue. This is specifically for the lowering of the sewer. The plans to do this were just finalized after construction had even started. Our timeline was short, so the contractor was directed to proceed time and materials. There was bid items, original bid items for this work, but we didn't feel like we had time to negotiate a change in unit prices. So it proceeded time and materials. The sewer was lowered from approximately 8 feet to 15 feet, and we tracked their labor, their equipment, and their materials. And when the work was complete, it was tallied up and totaled to the total you see on the change here. So it appears, given the bid items that we're supposed to pay for this, there's a net cost increase of around $23,000 to perform this work, and three additional contract days.
Council?
I just have one question. Why did this not go to committee?
You know, I don't know, to tell you the truth, the conversations that were had. I talked with Kurt Holland this morning. He had mentioned that there had been some communication regarding the lower of the utilities, and that's what I know. I don't know if it was the committee or not.
Yeah, I don't want to beat up on you. It's just that we're approving a change order after the fact with no knowledge of it having to take place. It would have been nice if the committee had been called in an emergency circumstance. Understanding the time constraints, you want to move forward with the project. You got 104 days to do it, and each day is very important in what gets accomplished. But a little heads up prior to this being done would have been nice.
Yeah, I'll take responsibility for that. I was out of pocket in the last week, and this was coming up. I should have done that, so I'll take responsibility and try not to let it happen again. As we make these changes, we're trying to move forward on 14th. Obviously, we have a timeline to meet so we get paid. So it, instead of delaying, you're right, we could have had an emergency one, but I'll take responsibility and make sure.
Or even a phone call.
I understand. Yeah, understand.
You know, these are the things we're looking at right now because of it. You know, I've got time in the day. I can drive up to the site and see what's going on.
Sure.
And all I need is an explanation, because I really do not like to vote on something that I'm not aware of.
Right.
It's not your fault.
Good. Beat up on me, because it's my fault. We could have called you, I guess. Again, we're just trying to roll forward, and you're right. Well, at least a phone call. I'll give you guys a call and say, this is coming up. What do you think? And in the future, because I'm sure there'll be other changes as we move forward, as there always are in these projects. But
this particular lowering of the sewer line, was this on the west side of the property that it needed to be lowered? Because on the east side, you want to keep that elevated to keep it moving to the west.
We have to go into the canal. That's why. And we've talked about this several different venues. I thought we did it in one of the committee meetings as well, about lowering that sewer and how it was going to affect the whole.
We've talked about it in council.
Yeah, and in council meeting as well. So that was probably, we thought it was been covered, but that's why, because it's to get under the canal to the east, as Jake discussed, it has to be, well, that much deeper, and it's going to be even deeper as we go through Columbia up towards the canal. So that's the reason for it.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. We'll definitely take note of that as well. Just a heads up, I guess, while we're talking about it, there is a forthcoming one for the portion of the storm. They were done separately and tracked separately, but it wasn't finalized by the end of this current pay period. So
yeah, I've also asked Jake tonight. He was already going to do it, to give you guys a full update on what's happening with 14th up to this point, and any stuff like that we may encounter. So
okay.
You guys are aware.
So we can be aware of what's going on out there. Is there any way possible that staff could provide to the council a description of the plat as it exists today?
Description of what?
The plat that CBHA has wrote for the property that they have. What is their proposed, you know, what are they proposing to do so that we can, when we make decisions on these services that we have to provide, you know, for future growth?
This particular change didn't have anything, well, that's a little bit to do with CBHA.
No, he's talking about stormwater.
Right.
Okay. Most developments, like down in Coventry House, they put a stormwater system in, collection system. So is CBH foregoing putting in a stormwater collection system on their plat so that they can tie into the city's stormwater collection?
No, Jeff, so I'll let Jake explain. This has been a bone of contention, and we finally resolved it, I guess, last week. But I'll let Jake explain what went down with that.
Yeah, I'll try to make sense of this. Scootney Street, next to the school, CBHA has interest in that street, I believe, becoming future city right-of-way, and had interest in implementing a stormwater collection system in that street. To do that, to gravity it, it required lowering of the storm on 14th Avenue substantially. We worked to try to accommodate that change. It didn't work out. They didn't want to. We went as much as designing it and getting a price from the contractor and negotiated it with CBHA, and they decided that they didn't want to pay for that change. So moving forward, that's we're proceeding per the original plans for the stormwater on 14th, as far as excluding Columbia Street.
Yeah, so CBHA will have to contain their stormwater on site, or run it off into Columbia, into that stormwater system, if I'm correct on that.
Yeah.
We'll have to come up with a plan for that. So yeah, your request for a plat on what they're wanting to do, we'll do the best we can, but they continue to modify that, and we'll give you the current one we have. Terry, how many times have they changed their sort of lost count? Yeah,
well,
so
do they have
we're working with CBHA as best we can,
yeah,
as they change. So
do they have an approved plat? Yes. So what are the regulations in governing the changing of an approved plat?
So in this case, they are not actually affecting the plat itself because they are not changing property lines. One of the kind of hanging issues with the subdivision was when they do their frontage improvements for Scootney, where does that stormwater go? So really what we're talking about is the stormwater associated with their road improvements, not their on-site stuff. So they are finally, their engineering is finally catching up to their construction, which is already working on the building, but now they're going back and trying to answer some of those unfinished questions from when they started. So in this sense, we're not really talking plat issues.
So basically, by not going with the north stormwater system and looking to go to the southwest to Columbia Street, they're going to, basically that's all they got left to do, because otherwise if they do their own stormwater system on their site, they're going to have to remove something, buildings or whatever, parking lot. Mm-hmm. They've got to put in a system.
Well, and actually, in this case, they have to put in their own system anyways. The question is, now they have to have two systems, one for the clinic and one for Scootney Street, because Scootney Street normally should have gone out to 14th, but by the time they figured that out, we had already designed 14th Street, and we had to lower the pipe, and it cost us, we estimated it would be about an extra $70,000. So their choice was, do we want to pay all this money, or do we just want to put another hole in the ground and keep the water on site? So they're in fact taking road water when they don't need to, because it's the cheaper alternative to actually paying for all of the extra pipe work.
Okay.
So.
Okay, so let's go back to the change order. It's $23,000 plus excluding tax.
Correct.
It's okay. So, and then in the future, we're going to contact the committee.
Yeah.
Okay. Council, are you guys okay with that? I need a motion.
I'll make the motion. to approve the enclosed contractor's change order number four for 14th Avenue.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you. So maybe just big picture project update. The two main utilities are storm and water, and the contractors started work at Highway 26 and been working north. They started on storm water. They're maybe 20% done with that work. And due to some of these situations, they've switched their operations to water main install, and they've started at 26 and they're working north. So right now the focus is water main installation, connections to existing system, testing for several weeks in the future, and then they'll finish up the storm and move to road prep and et cetera. Okay. So we understand how important it is that this gets paved this year. We've reiterated that to the contractor repeatedly. I might just note that this one hasn't gone without issues, obviously. There's been a lot of changes in a short amount of time, and the contractor's been very cooperative and seemingly made a very good effort at continuing to make progress throughout these changes. So,
okay. Thank you, Jake.
Is that it?
You have a question?
Just not of him, not of you. Thank you.
Yeah.
The question I have is, what funding is that going to be paid out of?
Just change order?
Yep.
This will be paid out of the sewer fund.
Water sewer?
It's just the sewer.
Just the sewer fund side? Because this was, you know, a paid for job, and these little add-ons are coming out of. Yep, and that's the sewer fund. Okay.
Moving to item 4.4, digitizing all newspapers for the past 100 years for the Othello Outlook. Actually, it's 108. Before I get into that, I'm sorry. Rigo, I'm trying to pass you up. Rigo, let's go to 4.3. We have some IT improvements Rigo wants to talk about.
Good evening, everyone. So I'm just going to give you a quick project update of what I've been doing since the last time I spoke to you guys last month. The new VoIP system phones, we received the paperwork from CenturyLink to actually bring in that line. Now there's some things I have to, you know, talk with them on where the line is actually going to come in from and whether it meets you know, the code or the standards or the ordinance that we have going on. The new city website, we had our second stakeholder meeting. The mayor was involved. It was very productive. A lot of ideas popping in and out. Ended up having a demo session with the people who we had signed the contract with, and they did it a lot more than what we had thought they did during our stakeholder meeting. The demo looked really well, and now they want to have a second demo with now all the stakeholders again. So I invite, you know, some of you guys, if you guys want to come out and watch that demo. They have all kinds of different templates. They're not just cookie cutters. They can do stuff, custom work for us and everything. So the stuff that they showed me, uploading documents and all that stuff, was very simple. And they're willing to do a lot of cross-training as well, so that way we are well-equipped to handle our website as well. The sector insight project that I've been working on with the police department, the business assessment has been received, and the police chief is working on it. However, I just want to let you guys know that this process is a long process. The average completion time is about 8 months, just because I think they bring about six agencies per quarter throughout the state. So, but we have started the process finally. So, and the last thing I wanted to bring up was what I talked to you guys about last time, our infrastructure redesign. You know, I'm going to go over what we did again, or why it was brought up in the first place, the proposals that were received, the pros and cons of what we thought were the two best options, and, you know, roadblocks what we saw coming. So the reasons for the upgrade is what I mentioned last time is right now we currently have no failover of our servers. You know, if a server fails, instead of losing just one server, you'll lose about three servers plus the main host server. Virtual machines are stored on the server's local disk, which is not best practice. you know, usually want to keep that in what is called a SAN environment, storage area network is what it's called. So that way, when a server does crash, it'll automatically fail over to the other servers and continue to run without anybody knowing anything has happened. Like I said, and with the whole SAN environment, without it, you guys will have no live migration. So like during the middle of the day, if I see a problem, you know, I get an alert from the server saying that, hey, this is about to happen. You know, I can't live migrate everything over to the other server to work on the one that's about to fail. So that's the reason why we need to get this upgraded. So with this new process that I'm starting to get used to, we got a total of about 5 proposals. Two from CompuNet, they're based out of Spokane, MicroAge, which is based out of Arizona, and our Dell rep. They all gave us proposals on what they felt like was best for our environment, you know, with me telling them how many items we had to carry over. We narrowed it down to 2. It's called a Dell Vertex and a UCS Mini with the Pure Storage, what we talked about last time. So going over the pros and cons, the Dell, this is what it's actually going to look like in our server rack if we do build this item here. It's basically it's one chassis where you have a bunch of hard drives in its place, and you'll do it what's called a RAID configuration. So that way you can do hop swaps. If a hard drive fails, you can just pop it out, pop another one in place, and it'll rebuild by itself with the blade enclosure as well. So the pros on this is that the price, I mean, $37,000 for something like this to have that failover is a really good price when it comes to that. I guess a small space that it would take up on our server racks. It's, you know, you guys can read this. There's, you know, I'm kind of like advocating for it. it's built layer 3 switching. This price includes all our Microsoft licensing that we will need to host the virtual machines on the servers. This includes a 5-year support from Dell next business day. So if something was to happen, it'd come out with the part the next day. And it's cheap to extend it. So right now, the way to expand this, that's about $300 per drive, but we need to do 2 drives per expansion. So it'd be about $600 to say, hey, we need an extra terabyte, let's expand it out to another drive. This bay is about a 25 or 24 bay chassis up there at the very top. It's a really great product, and this is what most small businesses, at least with the number of employees that we have, are going with. The only thing about this is that it does not include the support to come and set it up, which is about an extra $6,000. But I've worked with this guy before. He's a really great guy. He's also going to help us with our current network switches and making sure that they're configured right from the previous IT person that was here. So he's going to do all this along with this project as well. The second one here is that Cisco UCS Mini with a Pure Storage attachment on it. Now the way of the future is a flash SAN storage. It's really quick. I was explaining it to Wade. You know, between flash and the actual hard drive, the hard drive you get a reaction time with flash is, you know, it's really quick. Do we need that here? Probably not. It's my honest opinion. The information that we have here is crucial, but it's not like we need it now type thing. And this also includes a 5-year SmartNet. This is the Cisco standard for their devices. So the list goes on and on. It's a really great product. It might just be too much for us. The only cons that I see with this is the price, $93,000 for it. And the other con about this is that it doesn't deduplicate camera servers. So we have currently 2 camera servers that the police department has. Which take up about 2.3 terabytes of a server. And so with deduplication, where Pure Storage makes their money off of, it won't be able to help us out there. So if we need to expand this out, it would cost us more money, more than the $600 than the other one would. So that's the only con I see with it. Other than that, it's a great product, but like I said, it might be just too much for us, for the size that we are. Some roadblocks that I see is that there currently is no funds for it. There's a We'll try to get it in if there is extra money by the end of the year to fit it in. More than happy to do it. It's something that we have to see what's going on with the other projects that the city is involved in, just to make sure that we have enough money. You know, and then if it happens to go that route where we don't have the money for this year, it will definitely be one of the red items for our 2017 budget. The good thing about that is that our servers currently, right now, they're not ancient, but they're not new either. They're about 3 to 4 years old. You know, we still have support on them, so if something was to happen, the thing is that we'll have still downtime by the time the Dell technician comes out and replaces a drive or replaces a motherboard on the server. So that's the risk that we run until next year, until next year's budget comes out. But other than that, are there any questions?
Council? I think he's done a job. Yeah. Bringing us into the new century.
Trying.
Yeah. Very good job.
Yeah.
All right.
What I'm thinking is, if your department, you bring to us, the council, what you want, and what you think will be good for the city, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah. Yep, and I'll make that, and I'll, you know, since if it's a table item for 2017, there's other items that are out there too. There was a hybrid model of a flash plus the hard drives as well that I'm looking into as well. You know, I'm just continuing to work and get prices and try to get this the best deal possible. So, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Item 4.4, digitizing all newspapers for the past 108 years for the Othello Outlook. Before I get into that, I was going to ask Debbie to do a proclamation for me, or to type one. And since I forgot about it, this is the Othello Outlook's last covering of a city council meeting in its history. And so I just wanted to issue a proclamation thanking the Othello Outlook for its 108 years of service chronicling the history of our city. I think back growing up of Dan Leary and Dean Judd and Nadine Baldridge and the work that they had done. Dick Rex is another one who's been around forever. He was the ad manager for 30 some years. Bill Edlund, Chuck Allen, Eric, Brianna, Luann, Amber, Josh, Darla, and a whole host of other people that I probably can't remember, but I really want to thank them all for their service to this community, their service to the city of Othello, and the Othello Outlook and the newspaper, because they chronicled what has happened to this city over the last 108 years. And so tonight, I believe that the Othello Outlook deserves to be honored and recognized for their exceptional service to the city and community. And with that, I was concerned when I had heard last week that the Outlook was going to close. And one of the concerns I had is that these newspapers, 108 years worth, which is over 5,000 weekly copies, are being donated to the Othello Museum. However, they're in paper format, and if the museum ever burned, or if someone came in and vandalized or destroyed those papers, the entire compendium of the chronicling of the city of Othello and its history for the last 108 years would be lost. And so I had some discussions with Debbie about this. Debbie's our city clerk. Part of her responsibility is to keep records, and she had said that the Secretary of State of Washington, which right now is Kim Wyman, they have resources, and sometimes that information can be sent to the state archives, where that information would be digitized and archived. So that is kind of the nature of this item on the agenda tonight, is that in the event they aren't able to do that, maybe they could supply us with a grant that would help pay for the funding. But as we were just kind of trying to predict how long would it take a person to
digitize, scan, and record and put in the proper coding so that they could be retrieved, it could take well over a year for someone to do all of that work. So I just lay that before the council. There isn't really anything we're going to do at the moment, but we might want to think about that as we go forward in our budget process throughout for 2017. And also, anything that the state, we'll probably have more information as we get into the budget process over the next several months. We'll have more information from the Secretary of State's office of what assistance and support they can lend us. So, is there any comment or agreement or?
A lot of history.
Yeah.
Definitely
agree. So, even if the state can't help us out with that, we need to find one way or another to do it. It's just, it's an amazing idea. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to lose those pictures of Larry smacking the home run. Yeah.
There's pictures of Larry McCourty in high school.
That ancient.
Yeah,
and archives.
There's lots of pictures of me when I was younger, and yeah. So. In fact, probably all of you have been in the VFO Outlook at one time or another.
Or another, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, I don't want to lose that history. Let's move to item 4.5, resolution and facility use agreement with Greater Othello Chamber of Commerce and the Business Expo. Amy?
Good evening. So I came before you a month or so ago for the Greater Othello Chamber of Commerce Farmers Market. During that discussion, I mentioned the idea that the farmers market may expand into something larger. At the time, there wasn't a staffed manager, so the future was unknown. But now the chamber has a manager in place, and she has expressed interest in going forward with the idea of expanding the market into two separate events in the same location. I'm going to let her talk to you about the details because she's the one that's put all the effort into this. The only one comment that I'll make now is to let you all know that the space that they would need has already been approved in the first facility use agreement and resolution. We had made the adjustments to the contract to give them access to the whole park during the time frame that the farmers market is open. Right now, they are currently operating in the usual farmers market space off to the side, but they do already have permission to use the full facility. So I won't say very much more. I will introduce Bianca Mendoza, the Chamber of Commerce Manager, and let her give her presentation. And if you have any other questions that I can be of help for, you can call me back up.
Thank you, Amy. Bianca?
Hello. My name is Bianca Mendoza, and I'm the new chamber manager. And I wanted to talk to you guys about the business expo idea that I have that I want to set up at the park. So what this idea is, it's going to be for the small businesses of Othello. It's going to be a place for them to be able to come and sell their products or services at the park during the farmers market. And the reason I want to do this is because I want to create a place where businesses can connect with each other. Not only can they, will they be able to, you know, promote their business, but they're going to be able to network with other businesses. So kind of have like a support group within each other. So the reason I want to do this is because as I was handing out flyers for the Othello Farmers Market, I visited this business that's called Navia's Boutique. And I don't know if you guys have ever been there, but it's a new store. It's over by Mi Carniceria in the new plaza that they just built. And this woman is struggling to make it. She's paying to have her business there. And she doesn't speak any English. So she really doesn't know anything about running a business, and she needs help. So I thought that this would be a great idea for her to be able to come, businesses like her to be able to come to the park and show what they're selling. So a little bit more about why I want to do this is because the chamber would be showing support to all of the businesses in Othello, not only the ones that that have been here for many, many years, but the ones that are new and the ones that, like Navio's Boutique, that need help. So one of my requirements for this is that I want them to become a part of the chamber. For them to be able to be in the business expo, they would have to be a chamber member, and they would have to pay a fee every time that they go. And so this would benefit the chamber because they would recruit more members, and also it would generate another source of revenue. So like Amy was saying, it would be at Pioneer Park on Saturdays from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. On the other half of the park, because currently right now the farmers market takes up about half of the park, and they just don't ever step foot on the other side because they have their spots. They've been there for 10 years, 20 years, or whatever, and they're not going to move, so they want to be there. So it wouldn't interfere with the farmers market at all because it would be completely separate. And I know that that's important for the farmers market because we don't want to we don't want it to lose, you know, it wouldn't be a farmers market if we allowed other businesses to be there. So the way that we're going to do this, the way that I want to do this is completely separate the two ideas. So the farmers market would stay on one side and the business expo on the other. And we've already worked on the banners to put up at the park for this. Let's see. Yeah, I think, and one thing I forgot to mention was that not only is it going to be beneficial to the small businesses, but I also want to allow businesses like Villarreal Insurance and other companies that aren't necessarily going to sell at the park, but they have valuable information that they can pass out to the community. So that is my idea of the business expo.
Thank you, Bianca. Council, do you have any questions? Any objections? I think it's a great idea, Bianca. The services that the chamber is continuing to provide to the community continue to grow, and last year was the first leap when we decided to take over the farmers market and what that entailed, and now we're morphing into a business expo. So those are great ideas. I think it's good for the community, and I think it's good for the business community. So thank you very much. Do we need to make a motion here?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to approve the resolution between the city and the Greater Othello Chamber of Commerce.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried.
All right. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you. So now we'll move to item 4.6, resolution and facility use agreement with Bethel Assembly of God Church.
Hi, long time no see. All right, so I have another event that's coming up, and the Bethel Assembly of God Church would like to use Kiwanis Park for a pastor appreciation celebration. This will be similar to the last event that they had in the park, sans the bouncy houses this time, so it will just be a barbecue, a small amplifier for music. I'm told there's not going to be a message, but I'm sure somebody's going to want to get up and say how much they appreciate the pastor and all of that. So nothing too loud or too boisterous. They are expecting 250 people in the park, which is what moves this into a special event. So they've requested to use Shelter 1, which is the large shelter at the bottom near Shady Lane, and then shelters 2 and 3, which are located right next to the playground, just to allow the amount of space that they need for that number of people. Do you have questions? There's nothing too obscure happening. It's just a larger scale event than a normal park shelter rental. So that's about all I've got.
That's Sunday, August 28th. Okay, mm-hmm. Council?
I think it's a great idea.
All right, with that, I entertain a motion to approve the resolution for the facilities. Oh, I'm sorry, Kelly.
May I interject? I should interject on the last one. I think I would recommend that in the wording of your motion, it'd be the motion to approve the resolution and also authorize the mayor to execute the facilities use agreement. And so after you take this vote, maybe we can go back and just clarify the previous vote.
Okay. Let's go to 4.6. Actually, before we do 4.6, let's go back to 4.5 and clarify that with the resolution and authorizing the mayor to sign.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Okay, motion's been made and second to authorize the mayor to sign a resolution and facility use agreement with the Chamber of Commerce on the Business Expo. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We'll now move to 4.6, authorize the mayor to sign a resolution and facility use agreement with Bethel Assembly of God Church.
Make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Kelly. Unfinished business? Is there any unfinished business tonight?
I want to bring up something real quick. Last Sunday, the church I attend, we use Bonas Park down there in that same. And I just want to comment to Terry. The sink down there was plugged up in that thing. But there was one of the city employees there working, and we told him, hey, just wait. That guy just ran, got all the stuff, come back over there and fix that before we were starting in about 25 minutes. And he goes, let me get that taken care of you. Great deal. Kudos. I just wanted to say he did a very good job, and he come over and opened the, we had some sound equipment we brought in. He come over and opened up the deal so we could drive up next to it, the gate there. And we unloaded and pulled our stuff out, and he shut the gate and locked it back up. Just had to say kudos. Very good.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other unfinished business? We have new business is the Transportation Benefit District meeting will be next Monday at 6:15 p.m. for a short 15-minute meeting before our regular City Council workshop. And
Sean,
yes.
And the water planning meeting on Thursday.
Okay. Thank you. There is a water planning summit this Thursday at 2 p.m. at the City Council Chambers here. This is where we have all of our elected delegations are coming along with state agencies and federal agencies. So we're going to unveil a short-term, mid-term, and long-term water plan for the City of Othello to assure the sustainability going forward, you know, for decades to come. So the council, Debbie has published in the newspaper there could potentially be a quorum. All of the city council is invited to attend that, and you can see what our consultants and staff and we've come up with. Wade, did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
Just so you know, it's an expanded version of what Tim Flynn and Jesse Calgar gave us about a month or so ago. It's just an expansion on that same theme of ensuring our water supply. So it's some new information, but not a whole lot. It's the same theme. But it's going to have the elected officials there. It would mean a lot if we had two or three or four council members there to show some support, if you could possibly make it.
Give me that date again, Sean, please.
That's this Thursday.
This Thursday?
The 28th.
At what time?
At 2 p.m.
2 p.m., okay.
And in addition, there's an ice cream social being held at the and meet and greet being held at the mayor's house this Thursday evening from 7 to 8:30. And I think you all received a little card and an invitation. So if you guys can make that, I know not only would I appreciate it, but I'm sure that our
elected officials would appreciate that as well. Council is also going to receive on 7.1 our department heads' reports and the Planning Commission minutes from our last meeting. So having no further business to come before the board, I'll adjourn tonight's meeting at 7:20 p.m.